In this session, we're going to continue talking about the emotions that break down communication. And the second one is such a major problem in the home and in communication today. There are certain factors about it that are even far more dangerous than anger. That's what we call anxiety, or just plain old worry. Open your Bibles with me to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Polly was talking to someone today, long distance to a call, to talk about a real need. The Holy Spirit spoke this scripture to her, and I said, "Darling, that's a text. That's what we need to be." The Lord just constantly pouring scriptures that reinforce what we teach. We refuse to teach it if it's not from God's Word. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 6 says, and reading it from the Amplified, I said the title of this session is anxiety, or just plain old worry. 6 says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving continuing to make your wants known to God." What's going to happen? "And God's peace be yours," that tranquil state of the soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, "For the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemingly, and whatsoever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there be any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on it and weigh and take account of these things, fix your mind on them." The solution: worry is more dangerous than anger, simply because anger will dissipate. When the energy is gone, soon the anger will be gone. And you'll get busy a day, 2 days, 3 days, and the anger will all be gone. Maybe sooner, depending on how much physical energy and effort you put into something, it'll be gone that quick. Now, the mental problems deposited there from the anger and the unresolved problems will be there unless you resolve that. But with worry, it's quite different. Remember I told you that anger generates energy? You know what about worry? Yeah. It does the very opposite. It drains you of energy. The person who's tired all the time, the person who never can get rested, if they're not physically ill, and sometimes that is the problem, generally that person is a worried person. Worry drains it out. It's like the plug being pulled out of the energy container of your life, and it is literally drained out. You cannot get rested if you're worried. You need to analyze this in your own life. If you feel like you're always tired, you're always weary, you're always out of energy, you never have the energy, first of all, if that is a problem and you feel that you should, you may want to visit your local physician. But if not, you may want to examine your thoughts, your thought pattern, and what's happening in your life today. The lesson aim is to analyze what makes you worry, to learn what the scriptures teach about worry, and take the steps to stop worry. And we're going to do that. Worry has very little to do with the present, except to make it miserable. Have you noticed how that worry is always related either to the past or to the future? The reason it's so dangerous, it is very seldom related to the present. The only thing it does with the present, as I've already stated, is it makes it miserable. This is the reason the Bible teaches with great clarity the reason why we need to resolve the problem and why we should not worry. Matthew, about the 6th chapter, probably the last verse, 34, 35, I believe it's verse 34, says in the King James Version, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." A more literal translation says, "Live one day at a time." There's enough worry for today. Don't deal with the worries of yesterday or the worries of tomorrow. Resolve problems today. I'm able to work problems out well each day if there's a problem. But the reason is because I'm not worrying about yesterday. I can't do a thing about it. Can't do one thing about the problems of yesterday. And neither can I resolve the problems of the past, of the future. Simply, in fact, I believe it's around 75 or 85% of the things we worry about in the future really never come to take place anyway. So we've wasted an awful lot of time, an awful lot of effort fretting about things that are never going to happen. People today, Holly and I do a lot of counseling, people involved in finance, and so often people today are so troubled and disturbed about our present economy that they overlook opportunities today to do well financially. God, over and over again. In fact, we were just at Dan Schaefer's church a few days ago for a seminar on building a healthy self-image. The Holy Spirit spoke to us and told us to give them a word about their finances, a present-day word. We'd already been there and taught the Financial Freedom Seminar, and the Lord just kind of wanted to update what was happening today because we're living in a constant changing economy. Inflation growing on a regular basis. One lady said, "Perry, inflation wouldn't be so bad if it didn't come at a time when everything is so high." Another lady said, "We're really fortunate that we use credit cards. It goes a lot further than cash." One of the problems that Satan would like to throw to the church today is to get them so involved with the problems of today until they're unable to manage their finance for the future. Let that soak just a moment. Think about that a moment. Our problems in America are going to get worked out. I believe that. I have enough faith in God, of course. I have an awful lot of faith in our present administration that some good things are going to happen. Now, I believe that as Congress goes back at this present time, that everybody is saying, "Listen, Mr. Congressman, you work out some problems in our inflationary system, but you're not going back to Congress this next year." We've always used, since the beginning of inflation, since credit took over in 1928 and has grown at an unbelievable pace, we have constantly felt like, and the Federal Reserve Board, Banking Board, has always used as a method of slowing down our inflationary rate by putting on the brakes in the lending institutions. Raise the interest rate, people quit borrowing the money, and consequently, everything slows down. We get her back to an even keel, and we start all over again. For the first time in the history of our economy, it has not worked. In a day when we paid all the way from 16 to 25% interest rates, people are borrowing it until we are running short on time. So while it has helped some, because their particular package would endorse and allow such an interest rate to be paid and the net profit still be there, others have hurt. Particularly people with fixed incomes. And what a tragedy in America. Just Reneda, Oklahoma, closed a seminar there a couple of weeks ago, I guess, maybe three. Come to find out in a daily study, because it's something that Polly and I committed ourselves to do, to study the Word on a daily basis and pray and ask God to keep us current about what's happening. And into my hands came present knowledge that 95% of American people today are retiring below poverty level. 95%. Only one out of every 100 will become rich, and four will become independent, and the other 95% will retire below poverty level, where they have to have assistance from welfare or their family or friends to make it. In the richest land in the world, where we've got more to offer than any country under the sun, and yet poverty is everywhere. It's not that we plan to fail. The key factor is that we fail to plan. If you're trying to go somewhere today, and I don't know where you're at economically, but you must have a goal, and it must be committed to paper. 3% of the people of the world today commit their goals to paper, and the 3% do more economically than the 97% that never write it down. Must be a word from the Lord, Polly. Certainly not in a seminar. God's speaking to some of you in those areas. I believe that God wants to prosper your life. And I believe when the church gets a hold of the truth about prosperity, I believe when they learn what God has in mind and His reason for prosperity, we're going to begin to prosper as we have never prospered before in our lives. And I want to share with you the reason for prosperity. The reason God wants to bless you. The reason God wants to pour funds into your life. The reason God wants you to have more than just a living is that it can flow through your hands into His to spread the gospel around the world, beginning first right here at the local church. Believe that? Right. And if we will get our priorities right, recognize this is God's reason for wanting to bless us and prosper us financially, and we commit it all to God, we make the commitment of everything we own, our time, talent, possessions, ability, money, everything we have, we commit that to God, why wouldn't God bless us? Why wouldn't He multiply? That'd be more fun than would be needed. Right? There wasn't David's day, Pastor. There wasn't David's day. Finally, the church had given so much until David had to tell the brethren, that's enough now, don't bring any more in. You had any problems like that, Pastor? You don't have to answer that. I'd like to see that problem existing right here in this local assembly. I'd like to see it come to the point that the pastor had announced next Sunday morning or 6 months from now or 3 months from now and say, folks, you don't have to bring anything else in. We have plenty to meet the needs. We're going to be able to do all the things we've planned this month. Keep what you got. Hang on to it for a while. God's going to speak something else into existence. Yeah? Hello? I think I just shook the right vine again, Walt. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. Yeah, He wants to bless you abundantly. His will is that you be happy, that you be healthy, and that you prosper. Well, every once in a while somebody comes along and says, Perry, I tell you, I just don't want a lot of money. I found out those people lie about other things too. Yeah. Woo! Listen. My pastor said the other day, he said, I believe I could use $1 million today, Perry, and use it wisely if I had it. I guarantee you this local body could use the funds. And I feel like, and I don't know why I'm talking about it except the Holy Spirit speaking here. God wants somebody in this audience to recognize their motivational gift of giving. You can recognize that because you'll have something to give if that's your motivational gift. Some people say, well, if I just had a lot of money, I'd start giving. Don't do it that way. You start giving, and then God starts blessing. You ever hear of a farmer standing at the front door of his barn and saying, well, you know, the first time I make a good crop, I'm gonna plant some seed. It is kind of silly, isn't it? And yet, we kind of think that same principle ought to work. We say, you know, I'm going to start giving as soon as the Lord gives me about $100,000. I'm going to start giving. Like the secretary says to the boss, listen, boss, if you'll just give me a raise, I'll start doing what you're already paying me to do. You ever hear anybody say to the stove, if you'll keep me warm, I'll put some wood in you. Silliest thing you ever heard of. So you start giving. You start giving of what you got. You start giving of what you already have. God says, hey, I can trust that man or that woman with wealth. I can trust them with prosperity. They'll remember me. They'll spread the gospel. And God begins to bless at an unusual level. I believe the day that the church starts giving as God planned, every need will be met, regardless of how big the need is. How do we win over worry? Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says in the Living Bible, just as you trusted God to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. Remember, Paul is always saying, you have a choice of who runs the ranch. If you own the ranch, you don't have to let somebody tell you how to do it. In your own life, you don't have to let others tell you how to do it. You have a choice. Right. You can get up in the morning and stay angry all day if you want to. Isn't that right, Polly? Polly said not long ago, she got up one morning. We're very sensitive to each other's needs. And I said, how you doing, baby? She said, I just feel like being grouchy as an old bear today. She said, but I ain't going to be. She got a choice of who runs the ranch. She can decide. You can decide. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how we have the abilities to change? Or say, no, when I get angry or when I get worried or when I get all upset, listen, I'm just upset. Did you ever see somebody upset? You ever see your hubby really upset? Just fighting mad? I mean, just screaming at the kids and you and throwing at things and kicking things. And the friends come over. Oh, y'all come right in, honey. Let's make a pot of coffee. And hypocrite. Oh, don't you just want to tear his head off? Oh, listen, you're in control. You can either be sweet or you can be sour. You know, you can either be nice about it or you can be ugly about it. You can be in control. Just as you trusted Christ for your salvation, trust Him for your daily problems. Just tell Him about it. I never had any doubt. I told you while I was kneeling here the other night that there's a little boy. I knelt down and said, Jesus, come into my life. I believe with all my heart he heard me. I accepted that. You know what? When you come to any other kind of problems in life, he'll hear you the same way. I hear people every once in a while saying, you know, I've been praying and God don't hear me. I said, you mean to tell me you don't believe God hears you? That's right, sir. I don't believe God hears me. I said to one fellow, I said, if you went in the bedroom, just right down the hall, went in the bedroom, closed the door, and started cussing, you think God would hear you? Why, I sure would. Really? Why would he hear you cussing if he doesn't hear you praying? Y'all can go ahead and laugh out loud if you want to. It'll be all right with me. He hears you. He hears you. When you're having problems, talk to him about it. Talk to him about it. He understands and cares about that just like he does everything else. He wants to meet the need. He's interested in the problem. He wants to help you with the problems. And you have a choice of who runs the ranch. Concentrate on reality. Face it. Tell God about your need. Be honest with yourself and accept your problem. James, the first chapter, verse 2, 3, and 4 in the Living Bible says, is your life full of difficulty and temptation? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problem. That wasn't put in there just to fill up space. That was put in there because it works. Yeah, you have a chance to grow. It has a chance to grow. Do we need patience, Perry? Yep, think we do. Really think we do. In fact, it's the patience we need during the time of the waiting and the believing that's so vitally important to our lives. The scripture says, the trying of your faith doesn't build faith. No. I thought for years it was saying it was building faith. Somehow I got hung up, it was building faith, not building faith. The trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Woo! What's patience for? Dolly's got it, Joe. Here's faith. That's the bridge. From a point to another point. And patience is the pillars that hold up your faith until you're all the way across it. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, if I just do a little ditty up here. I feel like it. Boy, I'm going to tell you, reading in Peter, he tells you about the fifth step of Christian maturity is patience. And that patience simply means, in the original Greek, it is the trial by fire. Let me whisper a word to you. When you and I get a hold of this level, when we get a hold of this step in our Christian walk, people will beat a trail to our door saying, how do you do it? How do you do it? They're not too impressed when we cave in, when we fall apart and ravel out at the seams and start bagging at the knees. They're not too impressed. But when they see all kinds of tragedy falling all around you and you're standing strong as a pillar in God today, the world starts looking in your direction. One of the reasons God wants you to be happy, healthy, and prosperous and filled with patience. Let patience have her perfect work in you that you may be entire. And that word lost me for years. It means mature or complete and wanting absolutely nothing. When that starts happening, church, the world will start saying, that's the kind I want. That's the kind of an experience I want. I want to become a part of that body because they've got what it takes. It's vitally important in our lives today. What do? We focus on the solution, not the problem. an old sea captain, committed himself to take a young sailor to sea with him. And when they got out to sea, they come to find out that they had a rope up at the top of the mast that was twisted and out of place. The old captain said to the young sailor, "Mate, think you can climb that pole?" Said, "I believe I can, sir." He started up the pole, got quite a ways up, began to look down and got dizzy and was about to fall off when the captain shouted up, "Look up, son, look up." He was looking the wrong way. Most Christians today are looking the wrong way. Peter's a typical example. I say he's classic. Peter is doing super good walking on top of the water. But the scripture says in Matthew, and I believe it's about the 14th chapter, verse 26 through 33, "But when he saw the wind," the word said, "he began to sink." What happened, Perry? Glad you asked. He saw the problem, not the solution. I challenge you today. I challenge you today. I dare you to start looking at the solution. I double dog dare you. Look at the solution. Quit looking at the problem. Those of you who are having marital problems, those of you who are having financial problems, those of you who are having spiritual, mental problems, those of you who are having problems with your family, stop looking at the problem. Start looking at the solution. Take for an example, you have a house payment due. It's $283. What do you do about it? The solution is, first of all, you borrow the money from somebody if you can. Second, you take an extra job. If that doesn't work out, sell the antique clock. If that doesn't serve the purpose, have a garage sale. Listen, there's a solution to every problem, and God wants you to have one of them. Let me say in closing, we never make meaningful changes in our life except under stressful situations. I think Walt Disney was a perfect example of this kind of a situation. Walt Disney had 7 bankruptcies and experienced 1 nervous breakdown, but he finally found out how to succeed financially in his life. Wherever you're at today, I challenge you, look for